Okay, I don't have a microphone, and I've never done this without a microphone, so my hands may wander. Okay, I don't know. I practiced even in my room last night with a pretend microphone that I was holding, so this is a curveball thrown at me. So hang in there with me in case I meander. I may even throw out a high five, so be prepared. I want to share a story with you that I was thinking about while I was sitting here. And I think it's great that Pastor Kim mentioned about the Holy Spirit, whether you're this tall, right, or 95. And, you know, yesterday, I think it was a couple days ago, we were out in our driveway. Amy and I were with our daughter. We have a one-year-old. Amy would say 21 months, but I lose count after 1 year and just go to the years. So we have a one-year-old, and we live next door to Amy's sister and their kids, so on Saturdays we tend to just hang out. And so we were all out in the driveway, and I had known that Micah had been not feeling well with a cough. He had like a cough and just all sorts of stuff. And so I asked him that day, he was out in the driveway, I said, "Micah, how are you feeling? Are you feeling better?" He goes, "No, I still have a little bit of a runny nose and a little bit of a cough." "Oh, I'm sorry, you know." And so then I ask Evelyn, I say, "Hey, Evelyn, why don't you, you want to come pray for Micah?" And so Amy and I have been teaching our daughter how to pray, right? How to heal the sick. And so, you know, I normally teach her, I'll say, "Evelyn," she'll go, "Oh, hurt toe. And so I'll be like, "Why don't you pray for your toe?" And so I'll grab her hand and I'll put it on her toe and I'll say "Jesus." And she goes, "Jesus." I go, "Heal my toe." And she goes, "Heal my toe." And I'll say, "Pain, go." And she'll say, "Pain, go." We'll say, "Holy Spirit, come." And so, you know, we've been doing that, you know. And so she's gotten to the point where she does it by herself now. So she'll go, "Hurt toe." And, "Oh, why don't you pray for your toe?" And she'll just go for it. And so Micah was there. I say, "Evelyn, why don't you come pray for Micah?" And so Evelyn just walks across the driveway, you know. She's got her cute little glasses on, her little pigtails, and she walks across looking at me. And Micah's just standing there. And she puts her hand on Micah's head, and she just goes, "Jesus." And you're sitting there, right? Like, I'm squatting down, and you're like, "Holy moly." Like, oh, like Jesus is here. Like, he was just standing there. And then she just goes, "Jesus' name." And just like, boom, done. And I love it. I love that she simplified my prayer of multiple sentences to just "Jesus." I love the dramatic aspect. "Jesus." And you're just like, oh. But I'm telling you, he showed up big time. There, how old is Micah? 3.5 and a 1 year, 1.5 year old are sitting there doing kingdom business on the driveway. They get it. They totally get it. I've stopped trying to, because I sit there and I'll be like, "Oh, but she doesn't get it. She doesn't, you know, maybe know what she's doing." But I've stopped trying to underestimate where she is in her walk with God. Amen. Because I know that God is so passionate for her.
Yes.
And he is pursuing her.
Yes.
When she's 1.5.
Yes. Yeah.
I know that he speaks to her in the nighttime. I know that she gets it. She gets the kingdom. I pray that I can have the faith of a 1.5-year-old.
Yes.
And just get it.
Yes.
To just be obedient, because my Father knows what's good and he's just showing me how to do it.
Yes.
I was crying earlier during worship when I was thinking about this too. And just so caught up in the how he is pursuing her. He was pursuing her in her moment right there at 1.5. I'm so glad he pursues me. And I want to encourage you today, if you think that God stopped pursuing you, he is absolutely pursuing you.
Yeah.
With a love that's just unabandoned. He is absolutely pursuing you. Yeah, so, tissue? Okay. Yeah, so if you're here, can you just close your eyes with me for a sec? If you're here and you would say that you feel like you're not being pursued, or I say this too, if you have children that you know are not walking with the Lord and you have a heart's cry for the pursuit of a father for your children, I just want to pray for you. So Holy Spirit, I thank you for the revelation of the pursuit of a Father that's madly in love with us,
Jesus.
That came and died on the cross for us and set us free and brought the reality of the kingdom into our lives here and now. I thank you that salvation is pursuing us, God. And so right now I just release the love of the Father over every heart in this room. Holy Spirit, come and just minister the heart of the Father to every area of our hearts. We lift up our children that may not be walking with you, and we just say, pursue them. We trust in your good news. Holy Father, we believe in your pursuit. You are more than enough. And we put our trust in you. I pray for every child that's in this room right now, and even our kids across the way, God. I thank you for the pursuit that you have over them. I thank you for the call that you have on their life. I thank you for the call of just every baby that's in this room that you have over them, and your heart to bring it to pass. God, I thank you that you pursue them no matter how young, not based on their performance, but based on who they are in you and how you've created them. Thank you for how you see us, Father. Yeah, we just thank you for your love. Amen. So that was kind of a curveball as well. That's not in my notes, so I don't know what to do next. How many of you... I want to talk today about tension. So nobody run and leave. Tension. I want you to see the good intention. So I want to talk to you today about tension. You know, normally I'm asked to speak, and I get a couple months in advance, and I begin a conversation with God. Usually, one's kind of already started, or after I get asked to speak, like this time, about a month ago, I began this conversation with God about tension. And I say that is because usually He puts something in my heart, and I begin to converse with Him out loud, just so that I can get it and I can gain understanding to revelation that He's put in my heart. And so I had this conversation about tension, and I felt like He told me this. I felt like He said, tension is the atmosphere for the manifestation of the kingdom of God. I want to say it again. Tension is the atmosphere for the manifestation of the kingdom of God. I know there's a lot of words in there that probably need defining. I don't know if I have all the definitions of those, but I'm going to try and explain some of it. You know, tension is like an atmosphere, right? It's something that we experience. Who here would say sometime in your life you have experienced tension? Yes. Who here would say that right now in my life, some aspect of my life, I'm experiencing tension somewhere? Yeah, a lot. It's good. So I'm excited for that, because we know tension is like an atmosphere, right? So we may have different personalities. You may have relationship with people that have different personalities than you, do things different, and that can create tension in a relationship, right? That you have to like work through. You may have tension in your life. The prophetic can bring tension into your life when God says, you are this, and you say, but I look like this and act like this. I don't get it. There's a tension in there within the kingdom of God, of what God is saying over me and what I'm currently experiencing. There's tension for me. One of the ways that I see tension so much is when I'm walking around just my normal day. I'll see someone with a cast. I'll see someone hurt. I'll see someone with, you know, walking on crutches, and I immediately see them and I think, oh, but I know the reality of the kingdom of God, and I know that He came to overthrow that and to heal the sick. And that brings tension in my life. That shouldn't be someone walking on crutches. Like, Jesus has paid for it all. And so it develops like an atmosphere in me and around me. And I believe that atmosphere tension is the atmosphere for the manifestation of the kingdom of God. You know, Mark says in 1:15 that the time is fulfilled. Jesus said, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and put your trust in the gospel. You know, that word there, time, is kairos. I think there's two words for time, at least, kairos and chronos. Chronos will speak to more like a time that's days, months, years, how long a time was. Kairos will speak to an urgent moment, the right time, a unique moment in time. And Jesus was saying, He came and He ushered in the kingdom of God. from the future into the now. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, he pulled in and inaugurated now when he came on the earth. And he demonstrated that through healing the sick, casting out demons, raising the dead, calming the storms and the seas. And so what I mean by that is that tension is the atmosphere for the manifestation of seeing the kingdom of God revealed. Because we walk in a reality that the kingdom of God is now. We see Jesus and he walked and he healed the sick and raised the dead and cast out demons. And that Kairos moment wasn't just when Jesus was there. That Kairos moment is now. That Kairos moment is for my life. It is for me to walk in. He demonstrated and empowered me to be his representative. And so when we see those moments of tension, when something in our life isn't reflecting the reality of the truth of the kingdom of God now, I believe it creates a tension. Yes. Are you following me?
Yes.
When something's not reflecting the realness of the kingdom of God now, what I know to believe. I think today I want... You know, I believe the Holy Spirit wants to just give us new lenses. Maybe not new lenses, but just open our eyes to see tension in a new way. To recognize moments of tension, to become aware of tension in our lives so that we can step into that. I believe he just, you know, it's not like we walk around with a bunch of lenses and, oh, I got to put this one on and I got to put this one on. You know, I believe God wants to give us a kingdom lens to see things through. And I believe that through his lens of how heaven sees things, he sees tension in a different way. And so I believe the Holy Spirit wants to help us become aware of tension so that we would no longer avoid that tension, but step into those moments of tension and be the catalyst for that manifestation of the kingdom of God.
Yes.
You know, I don't want to, we live in a time where we can be, we can want to avoid tension and confrontation, right? I would say, maybe it's some, you know, maybe I want to declare that over me now, but I could be fairly non-confrontational, you know? And but I'm learning to recognize tension, to step out of my boundaries and out of my comfort zone, because I want to be the ambassador for the kingdom in that situation. I want to step in and declare that I am here and I know the reality and truth of the kingdom. And I'm stepping here representing the king, who happens to be my father, and I am his son. And I'm here to do kingdom business on his behalf. So I want to step into those moments and declare kingdom of God now is at hand.
Yes.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
Yes.
I don't want to avoid tension. You know, I think it's what I think the tension is that confrontation with the enemy being uncomfortable with the reality of the kingdom. You know, and he tries to make us uncomfortable. But the king has come and he has overthrown the works of the enemy. And he calls us to destroy the works of the devil. Amen?
Amen.
Kind of running out of time. I want to look at two passages real quick. I don't think I'm going to read through them. Turn to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. So you can just kind of glance as I talk. I don't want to read through them all, but we're going to look through verse 13 to 21, feeding the 5,000, and Jesus walking on water, 22 to verse 36. You know, the feeding the 5,000, Jesus is out there, and he's teaching to a bunch of people. He's ministering to crowds and crowds of people. And the disciples, they've been out there all day, and the disciples tell Jesus, hey, send them away. Send them away so that they can go get some food and they can eat. And Jesus looks at the disciples. I love this. Pick up the tension inside of this moment. Jesus says, they don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. You give them something to eat. How many of that creates a tension inside of you? When Jesus says, things like when Jesus says, okay, now go out and heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, and cast out demons. That creates tension. It's like, whoa. You know, I see you do that. He doesn't say, go pray for the sick and go pray that I can cast out. No, he says, okay, I've given you authority. Go heal the sick. That takes it to a whole new level. What about even greater works than these you will do?
Yeah.
How many of that creates tension in your life?
Yeah.
But that is the reality of the kingdom of God. And I want to step into those moments of tension. Yeah. You know, the disciples immediately, they said to him, "We only have five fish. We only have five loaves and fish." And he said, "Bring them to me." Other accounts, they say, "Hey, are we supposed to like go to the market and get some food? And that's going to be like 2 days travel. And that's not going to work logistically, Jesus." And so, but see, Jesus was creating a moment of tension in their life to invite them to step into it, to see the manifestation of the kingdom of God.
Yes.
Amen.
That's right.
I want to step into those moments. I want to recognize that moment of tension when God puts a call on my heart to pray for someone. You know, we were at, I'll tell you a funny story. I went to the grocery store one day. And so I go into the grocery store and I get in line and I'm checking out and I'm getting my food, you know, and talking to the lady that's, you know, she's just beep, you know, scanning my stuff. And so I'm talking to her and, she she brought it up, but she starts talking about this wristband, right? I notice the wristband and I'm like, oh, she has a wristband, you know, like God can heal her wristband. And so she starts talking about this wristband she has. And she starts saying, it's like, "Hey, how are you doing?" "Oh, I hurt my wrist and it's just hurting so bad, you know?" And I'm just like, "Oh," and you're in line and there's people here and you're just like, "Logistics, Jesus, logistics." And she's like, so she's Steve Scar and she goes, "Yeah, I don't know. The doctors can't do anything about it." And I'm just like, "Oh my gosh, what? Are you kidding me?" You know? And so tension is building up inside of me. Can you sense the tension? And she talks about it. And what do? Thanks, you know, I grab my bag and I leave. I go out to the car and I'm like pacing in the thing. I'm like, "Oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh." So I go back in the grocery store and I go get something that I don't need, you know? I'm just like, get some juice, you know, and I get back in her line and I'm like, "Forgot the juice, I don't know." And so she's scanning and immediately I'm feeling the tension. I've got enough guts to get into the grocery store again, but now the tension is overwhelming of the reality of what I know for her and what is around me, my circumstance, what it is saying to me. So I'll finish with a better story, but I did not pray for her. I backed out again. But that's okay. We can learn from our mistakes. You know, I don't label it as a mistake, but I learn from those moments. You know, I don't give myself permission to beat myself up over those moments. Another time we were at BJ's with Aaron and Amy and Derek. And we're sitting in a booth, and these people are sitting behind me, and I happen to turn around or something, and there's a baby sitting in, like, the car carrier thing. And so I'm looking at her, you know, and, like, I wave at her, and just, like, you know, the baby's smiling or whatever. And so somehow I enter a conversation with the mom in the booth next to us. And she's like, "Oh, yeah, we just came back from the hospital." She had, like, testing all day. And she had these things. I think she had those, like, little patches on your head that you can the instruments can see all the things. And because she had been having seizures, right? This little girl. And so I begin conversation, right? And you're just like, "Oh my gosh." You know, like Jesus absolutely loves this little girl and has paid for this, you know? And this moment of tension begins to swell. So I turn around and I look at Aaron and Derek and I'm telling them, like, I'm like, "Hey, this is what's happened." And it's like, "What do we do? We got to do this, right?" And it's just like, I think, you know, I open my mouth so that they can hold me accountable to doing it, right? And now I cannot back out. And they're like, "You just got to take risk, right? You just got to take risk." And so I build relationship through the meal somehow. We get to still talk. So she's getting ready to leave, and it's just like, "Okay, I'm going to do it." And so I stepped into this moment of tension, and I looked at the mom. I said, "Hey, could I pray for your daughter real quick before you go?" And she was all about it, right? She's like, "Oh yeah, that would be so nice." And so she kind of brings the baby closer, and I just go for it, right? I just put my hand on her knee, you know? I think I forgot to ask if I could do that. But I just went for it, and I put my hand on her knee and just declared the kingdom of God over this little baby that is having seizures in her life, and they don't know why. I declared life over her. I declared joy over her and the breakthrough of the kingdom of God over her life. And so they were happy and they left. But I know in my heart that I've just become convinced that I want to step into those moments of tension in my life to see the kingdom of God manifest. I want to take risk and see those things show up before my eyes. I want to step into those Kairos moments. I want to skip Jesus Walks on Water. You know,
so,
We all kind of know how it goes. It creates tension, but Peter jumps out there. He steps into a moment of tension, right? His risk and his faith, and he got distracted by the circumstances around him, and it overpowered his, you know, whatever that faith was. He began to doubt in the kingdom. But real quick, before I want to do a little bit of ministry time before I run out of time. But one of my favorite stories in the Bible is Acts chapter 3, 1 through 10. It says this. I'm going to read while you're turning so I can finish. It says, "Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the ninth hour, the hour of prayer, and a man who had been lame from his mother's womb was being carried along, whom they used to set down every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, in order to beg alms of those who were entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he began asking to receive alms. But Peter, along with John, fixed his gaze on him and said, 'Look at us.' And he began to give them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, 'I do not possess silver and gold, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk.' And seizing him by the right hand, he raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were strengthened. And with a leap, he stood upright and began to walk. And he entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God." I love this story. I told this story to the youth up at camp, but I love this story because Peter and John were just walking to the temple like they normally did every day or every, you know, how often they did this. And they were just walking along the path that they normally walked every single day to get to this temple. And just like normal, every time they would do this, they would see this man here who was begging, who was crippled. And it was just a normal occurrence. And every time, just like this man normally would do, he would look at Peter and John and say, can I have something? Can you help me out? But then Peter and John stepped into what was a normal circumstance and made a normal circumstance extraordinary. They didn't have to go out and look for some incredible thing. They went about their normal day, and it was their normal day that became extraordinary. Because in them, they now, being filled with the Holy Spirit earlier in Acts, had a reality of the kingdom of God now. And so they brought that into that moment of tension. They said, hey, I don't have silver and gold, but what I have, I give to you. There's a moment of tension created right there. Right? Rise up and walk. He's going to get up or he's not. You're laying it all on the line, right? But he had a realization of the reality of the kingdom of God now. And he stepped into it. He didn't avoid it. His normal became extraordinary. They anticipated the manifestation of the kingdom of God in that circumstance. Isn't that incredible? I love the normalcy becoming extraordinary. And so I pray that your eyes today, the Holy Spirit would open your lens to recognize those moments of tension in your normal day. And I encourage you to, with risk and faith, to step into it. You know, Mark said, believe in the gospel. Put your trust in the gospel. And so just push all your chips in to the gospel and step into that moment of tension and just see the kingdom of God. That risk and faith is just the catalyst for the manifestation of that. Amen?
Amen.
All right. We're going to practice. Oh, tension. It sets you up. But we are going to practice, and I want to spend some time doing this. And does that make sense to you guys?
Yes.
It is a nutshell version of what I had here, but I want to pray. I want to go after healing today in this room. I want to step out into a moment of tension. You see, people in the Bible constantly, the people receiving prayer and the people praying were both stepping into a moment of tension, right? There's a man with a withered hand. He had to reach out. And so just if there's something going on in your life that you need healing for, that is a moment of tension. And so I encourage you, as we begin our ministry time, to step out into that moment. Take that risk and step out there in the reality of the kingdom of God. That takes a risk. You know, and same with the people praying. You know, as we pray, we have to step out knowing the reality of the kingdom of God. Just like my daughter. We don't have to make it complicated. She has this awareness of the power of the name of Jesus and just brings it. So today, yeah, we're going to go after healing. I'm going to take a risk of and step out into some tension myself. I asked God for some just words of knowledge of anybody that would be in here and just need a miracle. And so I'm going to step out there, and I'm all about it. I am excited. So a few of the things that came to my mind. Is there anybody here that would have flat feet? You would say you have flat feet. My wife has flat feet. Yes. Two of my favorite friends are in the back. Joe and Heather Larson. Okay, raise your hand. If you want to know amazing people, get to know them. So flat feet. Raise your hand up high if you would say you have flat feet. All right. What about this? I wanted to say sinus infection, but really I just heard sinus. So I don't know if I really heard infection, so I don't want to add that. Yeah? So just anything with your sinuses that you would think God would want to heal today. Yeah, raise it high. Step out there in that moment of tension. Yeah, I love it. What about, this one's my reach. I felt like a pinched nerve, maybe more like in your leg. You got one in your neck? Let's go for it. A pinch. All of you guys have pinched nerves? That is amazing. That is awesome. I know, I mean, you know what I mean. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I was just so excited. All right, so we're going to go after it. So if you had any of those, raise your hand. Any of those three things. Stand up. Yeah, stand up. All right. Very good. So we are going to have the people around you. You are going to be the ones stepping out and praying, right? Are you guys ready for that?
Yes.
Okay? Yay. All right, so here's what I want you to do. I want you to ask the people real quick what it is they need prayer for. Keep it simple. If I have the pinched nerve, I have the flat feet, something like that. So keep it simple. And then I want you to just like pray like my daughter. Keep it simple. Just ask them if you can lay your hands on them and just go for it. Just release the kingdom of God, the reality of the kingdom of God. Are you guys okay with that? All right, let's practice. So stand up, participate. If someone is not praying for you and you need someone to, raise your hand. right. Ah, I love it. All right, I'm going to ask you to stop for one sec. It's okay. God's not going to be offended if we halt in the moment. If you've experienced some form of change that we've prayed for right now, would you say something, you've experienced improvement in your condition? Raise your hand. Raise your hand real high. Yeah, look around. All right. If you would any of you, would any of you say that your condition is fully better, 100% improved, healed?
Not yet.
All right. I want to say way to go for stepping out into moments of tension. I want to encourage you guys this next week to become aware of tension in your life and risk. Step out into that moment. And if you're nervous about what to say, just say Jesus. Right? Simple. I want two things. I'm closing it up here. Two things. Saturday night, we're going to have a healing encounter here in this room from 6:30 to 8:30. You could stop in any time. You don't stay for the whole time. You can if you want. But you just stop in. People will be here to pray for you. It's a comfortable, joyful experience. So come. If you haven't checked out your healing encounter, that is the Fountains Healing Encounter, I encourage you to come just make a pit stop. Take a field trip. Check it out. See what it's all about. Go through the experience so that you feel comfortable asking others to come, and you feel comfortable coming yourself, just so that you know what the experience is like. And we'll just pray over you and bless you, so you can't go wrong with that. Also, I think we have a happy hour today. I think we already announced that, but it is not the previous pizza place, that is Lamppost. It is at Toppers.
No.
It is at Round Table. Okay? It is at Round Table. So in case you're thinking, oh, it's just at the pizza place we were at last time, it is not.
Which is where?
By Ralph's. And if you need more information, you can ask people around here, and I think we'll figure it out for you. All right? Very good. I want to pray for you guys. Why don't you stand up? All right. So, Father God, I pray over the Fountain family today. I thank you for all these ambassadors of the kingdom of God in this place. I thank you for the lives that are going to be changed from these people walking out in just their kingdom identity and kingdom authority. I pray that you quicken their hearts to become aware of the moments of tension in their life that are coming in conflict with the reality of the kingdom of God. I pray you would fill them with all boldness, God, and would you, by your mighty hand, extend your hand to do works of miracles and signs and wonders through your people. We love you, Father. Bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.